Terry Bailey, and I've served on the stewardship team at CMDA for 4 years. In my role as communications manager, I have the privilege of hearing and then retelling your stories in the materials I produce and send to our supporters. Stories about the impact CMDA is having on campuses, in communities, and in some of the poorest and neediest countries in the world. It humbles me to know that God uses me and my work to inspire Christian healthcare professionals to stay the course, to stand strong, to keep the faith. This is why CMDA matters to me, and it's why I'm asking friends like you to pray for and to give to your CMDA at year end, because God uses you too.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Well, I love testimonies just like Terry Bailey's, and whenever we have new staff who join us here in Bristol, and they get to understand what CMDA is about, as the world's largest Christian healthcare organization of its kind, they find it an amazing privilege to be able to serve our members and champions in the work that you are doing all over the globe. Well, I recently returned to CMDA headquarters in Bristol, Tennessee, after spending several days in Louisville, Kentucky, for the annual Global Missions Health Conference, which many of us refer to as GMHC. This is a three-day conference and is the world's largest gathering of healthcare professionals, as well as students and organizations that are dedicated to healthcare missions. And it features breakout sessions, as well as powerful plenary speakers and exhibitors and special events. GMHC has for me always been an incredible opportunity to gather with missionary friends from the past, as well as now many CMDA friends, both old and new, and to learn and discover how we can help advance God's kingdom through healthcare missions. If you haven't been to GMHC before, you really need to check it out. I tell you, I can't count the number of times that I have sat down with a student or a resident, sometimes together with their spouses, as they were earnestly pursuing God's plan for their lives while attending the conference. And as I look back, I can see how God clearly led those individuals on an incredible journey of service. They got to use healthcare in Christ's name as a powerful tool. And that just makes my heart want to sing, friends, what God did in their lives. Well, this week's interview is a conversation with someone who has truly embraced the vision of GMHC to advance God's kingdom through healthcare missions. Dr. Sam Alexander has spent the last two decades traveling back and forth to Mongolia and sharing the gospel by teaching others and developing relationships with local colleagues. If you keep listening, you're going to learn more about Dr. Alexander's work in Mongolia with CMDA's Medical Education International Ministry. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I am joined by Pastor Bert Jones, our Vice President of Missions and Member Care, because we have one of our members who's an outstanding volunteer in our missions efforts, specifically in Medical Education International. Welcome, Bert.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, our guest today is Dr. Sam Alexander. He's a retired reproductive endocrinologist who's in the past practiced in Denver, Colorado for over 35 years. Had the blessing from the Lord of being raised in a Christian family and committed his life to Christ as a child, was involved in CMDA and became familiar with an opportunity in the country of Mongolia and has served on several occasions since then. So welcome today to CMDA Matters, Dr. Sam Alexander.
Thank you very much, Mike and Bert. I appreciate being with you today. I love talking about Mongolia.
So when did you formally conclude your active practice in OB reproductive medicine?
Oh, I retired retired in 2012, so it's been over 10 years.
But it was while you were practicing reproductive medicine that you got involved with Medical Education International. So tell our listeners how you first got plugged in with MEI, and in particular, Mongolia.
Back in 2003, I really felt called to share what I had been blessed and fortunate to be given with other people, and that was specifically my education and my experience. And I wanted to do that in some international area. I learned about MEI and contacted Jeff Barrows, who was in charge for a period of time back then. And Jeff said, well, we have a spot available for you to teach in Mongolia. Would you be interested in going there? And as you said, I didn't know anything about Mongolia, but I said, sure, I'll go anywhere. And so I ended up going to Mongolia in 2004 and haven't looked back.
Sam, I was reading through your impressive CV and all the work that you've done. And I got to this one part that your interests include photography, fishing, and donkey training. And I thought to myself, there's a story there. Tell us about that and maybe somehow you've incorporated some of that donkey training into your life.
Well, donkey training in my life is a long story, but I'll just say it gave me patience. Hmm. Patience was something I found myself to be a bit short of earlier in my life. And to train donkeys, you have to have a lot of patience and perseverance. So it was a good lesson for me. And they're wonderful animals.
Yeah, that sounds like something maybe we ought to sign up for a class for with you or something.
Sure. So what would you train them to do, Sam? I'm just curious.
Well, I had two donkeys and trained them to pull a cart, to drive a cart. Trained them to ride. I had a saddle for each donkey, and I would enter them in contests at stock shows in Denver.
Well, part of your story that I don't know, and I believe our listeners should hear, is, I mean, how did you reach the point in your career where you actually reached out to Jeff Barrows and you were even thinking about this kind of service and mission? And then part two is, tell us about the change in your own heart and life that Mongolia, that experience that you've had there, has made in your own life.
Well, I had been on short-term mission trips before that were not medical, and I felt that I wasn't being used as God had equipped me to be used. That's why I thought about MEI. I didn't feel that I was well equipped to do primary care medicine with a group such as GHO giving primary care in underserved areas. I wanted to be able to teach within my specialty, and that's what led me to MEI. Being involved with MEI over the years has definitely given me a sense of purpose while I was in practice, as well as especially since I've been retired. It's been a real focus in my life. One real effect it has had on my life is friendships. I have many, many Mongolian friends, both in the healthcare field as well as in other fields, and many friendships that I've developed among team members. We've taken 47 teams to Mongolia. I've been 18 or 19 times, and we've taken over 70 different specialties within medicine, nursing, and dentistry. So I've made a lot of friendships. Most of our team members return for a second or third trip. So it's become very central in my life.
Sam, you mentioned the GHO and some of the trips you've done in the past, but maybe for some who are listening today who maybe don't know the difference between MEI, what does an MEI trip look like? And if one of our listeners are thinking about maybe going, what are some of the things they might be doing with you on a trip to Mongolia?
That's a very big question. I could talk quite a while about that. With MEI, our goal is really to share the gospel through medical education. Mm-hmm. So we don't go to Mongolia really primarily to give medical care, although that may happen in the course of teaching, but we go to teach physicians, nurses, dentists, and other healthcare professionals. Our trips to Mongolia last about 2 weeks. We leave on a Friday. We return two Saturdays later to the U.S. When we arrive in Mongolia, we stay in Ulaanbaatar, the capital city. That's where most of the tertiary care hospitals are, virtually all of them, as a matter of fact. We usually take 6 to 8 team members, although we've taken as many as 14. We cap the teams at 10 now. We teach at the Mongolian National University of Medical Sciences, with whom we have an MOU, which we've had for many years. We also teach at the other government tertiary care hospitals. We teach at a Korean Christian hospital, the only Christian hospital in the country. We teach at the nursing school as well as at the dental school associated with the university. We stay in a nice, clean, but fairly modest hotel in the middle of Ulaanbaatar. And every morning at breakfast, we invite a national Christian worker or a foreign missionary to come and have breakfast with us, have devotion. We have a singing time, which is always fun. And we hear about the Mongolian culture. We try to get Mongolian Christians to explain to us the culture in a way that we can effectively share the gospel as we're teaching. So that lasts for about an hour and a half, and then we break and go to our different hospitals. What is done during the day really depends on the specialty. In my particular specialty, I would typically operate with the Mongolian doctors in the morning, have lunch with them, then lecture in the afternoon, do patient consultations, various things. On the weekends, we attend Mongolian Christian church services. We typically have lunch with our Christian friends there. We have often had retreats that we've organized with local and international Christian ministries in Mongolia, where we'll discuss strategies, we'll discuss current issues that are going on in Mongolia, try to elicit their suggestions for us in terms of strategy and tactics. We will go on trips to the countryside with Mongolian students, which is something that we're really excited about now. We're getting more of a foothold in that community and attend various cultural activities. It's very intense. The days are busy. The longer we're there, the first week can be fairly well scheduled. The second week, when everyone knows that we're there and the word has gotten out, we have a lot of demands on our time. We're very well known in Mongolia now. I'm told that we're the longest standing returning international ministry there in Mongolia. They know us as the Christian doctors. We have our lab coats with the CMDA logo and everything on it, but they know that we're the Christian doctors that come every September and every April. We have a very good reputation in Mongolia for our care for the Mongolian people and for their educational system. And that started with Dr. George Michael back in 1998, 25 years ago.
Wow. Well, that's a nice segue to what I wanted to ask you about, because I have the privilege, and so does Bert, every month to get a report from the director of MEI, and she shares with us what's going on around the globe. And this past May-June report, I got to see great pictures from the spring team, because the team was recognized by the Mongolian National University of Medical Sciences for 25 years of impact. And I think of Mongolia as not necessarily a wide open country for the gospel. And I know that the majority of citizens of Mongolia are definitely not Christians. And I know that's still the case. But tell us a little bit about this incredible honor, because I'm not sure that in any of the other countries where MEI does ministry, that there's been quite this sort of recognition by the highest level national medical school.
It was quite an honor. All of our team received a medal from the president of the Health Sciences University, which was the first time that's ever occurred. We have received visiting professorships in the past and other honors, but we were quite humbled by that. We're so grateful that we do have a close friendship and relationship with the administration of the university there, some of whom in the past have been Christians. But you're right, Christianity is certainly not predominant in Mongolia. Although back in the 8th century, Christianity was introduced to Mongolia. And in fact, in the 13th century, one of Genghis Khan's daughter-in-laws was a Nestorian Christian. She was Kublai Khan's mother and was one of the most influential people in the early Yuan Empire in China. But in 1921, after Mongolia received its independence, it became the first non-Soviet communist country in the world. And there were significant purges in the 30s of people who were nationalist or religious. And historically, it had been primarily a Buddhist country, but it became virtually totally atheist. And in 1991, when it became non-communist and independent, there were said to be anywhere from 0 to 12 Christians in the entire country. Right now, unfortunately, there's still under 2% of the population is Christian. The majority are atheist or consider themselves Buddhist. There is freedom of religion, though, and Mongolians are incredibly polite, friendly people who enjoy having conversations. And so we find that having conversations about faith in a culturally appropriate manner is really not difficult in Mongolia. Mm-hmm. Friendships, close personal relationships are really valuable and fairly easy to develop. What we're excited about over the next few years is that we've been able over the past few years to start a significant outreach into outlying areas of Mongolia. Mongolia, you may know, is one of the most sparsely populated countries in the world. There are only 3.3 million people in Mongolia, and it's roughly the size of Alaska. Hmm. Half of those people live in Ulaanbaatar, the capital city, and it's difficult in a nomadic culture to share the gospel and develop continuing close Christian communities because those in the countryside are moving constantly. But we have been able to repeatedly visit the satellite campuses of the medical university in Darkhan, which is the second largest city in the country. It's north of Ulaanbaatar, in Altai City, which is way out west, close to Kazakhstan, and Sanshind, which is south in the Gobi Desert. They are not reached by international missions much at all, and certainly not by continuing people giving continuing medical education. So they're very grateful for our presence there. We see that continuing and actually growing. Again, our ministry to students is getting more robust, in large part because the English language is becoming more commonly used there, especially among the young people. And they see that as a way to be able to expand their medical knowledge through international relations, as well as Zoom meetings and reading English medical literature. One other, kind of blessing of COVID, although we were not able to go for 2 years because Mongolia was basically closed for 2 years during the pandemic, we started doing Zoom conferences, and we had several Zoom conferences during that time, which have continued. And so that allows us to reach some of the more underpopulated areas in Mongolia.
As many times as you've been going to Mongolia, I'm sure you've seen the activity of the Holy Spirit in those times. Is there a particular story that stands out, maybe something in the scrapbook of your mind that is a special memory that you have of God's activity there while a team's been there or while you've been there?
Yeah, I'd like to relate one of many, and that is that involves a close friend that we've had for many years who was in and still is in vocational ministry with an international Christian organization there. He and his wife were both raised in atheist families. They're in their early 40s now. Anybody in that age or older would have been raised in an atheist family. His parents were both physicians, and of course he had shared the gospel with them many times, but they were resistant, having the mindset of many of our colleagues in the West of scientism and materialism. Our team that was there about 10 years ago took this friend of ours and his wife and his two physician parents out to dinner at a local restaurant and shared with them, again, the gospel. And at that dinner, they both gave their lives to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are still active church members, active believers. I think it was an example of how a peer-to-peer relationship can have such an effect on people. Again, we've been told that we are the only international team to focus directly on physicians, probably nurses and dentists also. And I just think that's so valuable that someone may listen to their professional peer a little more closely than they might listen to others.
Right.
Amazing opportunities in Mongolia that are ongoing as you're reaching the hinterlands for nomadic people, as you've described for us. What are the future opportunities our listeners in various specialties, how could they contribute in the future in Mongolia serving through MEI?
You know, we have openings for almost every specialty. Mongolian medicine is a very specialist-oriented endeavor. Primary care has never been thought of as a specialty in Mongolia, especially family medicine. That has changed. Family medicine is now up and coming in Mongolia. We've taken family physicians on each of the last three trips, and they've been incredibly busy, incredibly welcome. We would love to have more family physicians now. I would say the director of the family medicine department at the university hospital is a Christian and a good friend of ours. So we have good opportunities in that area, but virtually any specialty now we have connections with, and I would like to invite people to consider sharing their expertise in Mongolia. The other thing is, because we teach, we really also appreciate having younger physicians, those in active practice, not necessarily academicians. You can come and teach what you do every day. Teach what excites you the most, and that would be of interest.
When's your next trip, and what are some more things that you're hoping that you'd love to have if someone's listening and they have that specialty?
Our next trip is April 12th to the 27th. We already have several people who are planning to go, but we do have openings. We go every September and every April, so anyone who's listening can get in touch with MEI, and I'm happy to have a phone call with anyone to go over details. What I would appreciate prayer for would be that we be equipped to address the needs that are present in the Mongolian community. We try to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on because of language differences and distance and the fact that we're only there for two short weeks twice a year. Sometimes we're not totally aware of what the needs are and what the desires are. So we ask that the Lord put us in touch with those so that we can help supply those and that we reflect the love of Christ while we're there.
We'll definitely be praying that God supplies all that and more for your next trip.
I'd also like for all those in CMDA to really thank our Lord for giving us a core group of dedicated individuals who've been involved with this Mongolian ministry for years. We have a number of people who have been in leadership of this ministry for the past 10 to 15 years, and it really would not have been sustained without that.
Yeah.
And speaking of core, it reminds me that while it doesn't happen all the time, one of the outcomes of these experiences that thrills this former career missionary's heart is for one of your volunteers to catch a vision for longer-term service. And a mutual friend that actually Bert and I got to meet in Houston last year is Dr. Sarah Kors, a pediatrician, maybe a neonatologist, I can't remember, who's now serving long-term in Mongolia. And were you a part of that getting to observe her calling to go back long-term?
Yes. Sarah first went to Mongolia in September 2022, so a little over a year ago. And when she came back, she decided that God was calling her to be there full-time teaching and consulting. She's there now on a work visa in Darhan, the second largest city in the country, and working with the university and the hospitals there in Darhan, which is wonderful for us to have a touchstone there in Mongolia and for her to have a permanent presence there.
Sam, thank you for serving CMDA and our Lord and MEI. And we appreciate all you do and the great work you've done. It's been great to interview today.
Yeah, and I can't finish off this interview with anyone who's been serving you with MEI without remembering one of my heroes, role models, a general surgeon, medical missionary ambassador who built the original Elwha Hospital in Liberia, Dr. Bob Schindler, who back in the 80s, when he was president of CMDA, or CMDS at the time, was asked by the president of Mexico, of CMDA Mexico, why can't you start something for those of us who are graduate physicians, a ministry where you come and help update us and teach us what you in the U.S., what you're already doing? And so Bob started COIMEA, the Commission on International Medical Education Abroad. COIMEA was a little bit too complicated, so it evolved during the time of Jeff Barrows, you mentioned earlier, into MEI. And as I close, a vision of Bob's tombstone. He's buried just about a mile from the clinic where we got to serve together in Southwest Michigan. And on his tombstone, the motto of his life, the greatest privilege in the world is to serve Jesus Christ. Mm. And what an incredible privilege that we get to preach and heal as physicians, as dentists, other healthcare professionals. So thank you for being a demonstration, a very real demo for the people of Mongolia, Dr. Sam Alexander, over several years, and being a part of a group that was honored here recently for 25 years, a quarter of a century of service in the country of Mongolia. God bless you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Education is a key component of healthcare missions, and that's why one of CMDA's mission outreach programs is Medical Education International, or MEI. It is a short-term missions program that provides academic teaching and clinical training while building relationships with local colleagues and modeling the compassion, care, and love of Jesus. MEI teams serve primarily in low and middle-income countries, and most teams consist of 2 to 10 fully trained healthcare professionals. For more information, visit cmda.org/MEI.
Well, I personally had the opportunity to lead a couple of those MEI teams, one to Cameroon and one to Kenya, and just develop some great, deep relationships with my co-workers in those African countries. Well, here at CMDA, we like to say that healthcare missions is truly part of our organizational DNA, and we're committed to being on mission both here and across the world. It's this commitment to being on mission that is the driving force behind CMDA's Remedy conferences. And you know, registration is now open for Remedy East 2024, which will be held March 1st and 2nd at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. The Remedy Conference will challenge you how to grow in your understanding of what missional living actually looks like. For some, this might mean a plane ride to move to a far-off place for long-term service. For others, like Dr. Alexander on this week's episode, it may mean repeated short-term service over the course of a decade or more, building relationships with national colleagues of deep trust and respect cross-culturally. But for many of us, in fact, for all of us who work in the U.S., missional living happens in our own communities and our own institutions and workplaces right where we are. I want to ask, what does that look like for you right now? Well, come to Remedy and seek to hear from God's Spirit. For more details and to register, just visit cmda.org/events. For those of us who are called to healthcare through our relationship with Jesus Christ, our question should never be if we are living on mission, but rather where and how we're doing it. You can follow in Sam's footsteps and take a short-term mission trip through CMDA's Global Health Outreach Ministry or Medical Education International. You can sign up to receive one of our e-newsletters to help you follow God's call on your life. You can also check out books in our CMDA bookstore, books that will help encourage you as you read about heroes on the mission field and the incredible work that they did for the Lord during their time. Wherever you are in your healthcare journey, we have ways to equip you to live on mission each and every day. If you have any questions about how to get started, you can learn more through CMDA's Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions by going to cmda.org/CAHM. That's C-A-H-M.
Are you interested in short-term mission trips? Well, now is the time to start thinking about signing up for a global health outreach trip. GHO sends teams around the world to places like El Salvador, East Africa, India, the Pacific, Central Asia, Nicaragua, the Middle East, and many others. Through these trips, we disciple participants, grow national churches, share the gospel, and provide care to the poor and needy. Our teams minister in outpatient primary care medicine and dentistry, and in small and large hospitals to provide surgical services. If you're interested in using the skills and resources the Lord has entrusted to you, please visit cmda.org/gho to learn more and find a trip that works in your schedule.
Before I close out this week's episode, I want to highlight an upcoming opportunity for CMDA members who are feeling the effects that healthcare can have on our marriages. There are increasing time pressures that sometimes require docs to do medical records at home and on weekends. There are the financial burdens, continuing education requirements, and much more. All of those make building a strong marriage relationship even more difficult. Well, you and your spouse are invited to attend the next CMDA Marriage Enrichment Weekend. This particular weekend is being reserved for women who are healthcare professionals and their spouses. It will be in Seaside, California on February 23rd through the 25th of 2024. This weekend is led by members of our CMDA Marriage Commission. And these weekends have a threefold format that consists of brief information sessions, private time for couples to work on assignments in order to assess their marital relationship, and then small group sessions to address the unique needs of healthcare marriages. If you'd like to learn more and register, just visit cmda.org/events. On the very next episode of CMDA Matters, I will be joined by Adrienne Abrenica, and she is one of our CMDA board members. She is also the leader of the CMDA Coalition of Christian Nurse Practitioners. It's a specialty section of CMDA. We got to sit down recently while we were both attending GMHC for a little chat, so be sure to tune in to hear more next week. As always, if you would like to suggest a future guest for our podcast, you can just email us using cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. Or just send us an email and tell us what you liked. I always like getting those emails. During our conversation with Dr. Sam Alexander on this week's episode, I kept thinking of this verse from Matthew chapter 10, which says, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." I'm sure you recognize that as words of Jesus to his disciples. Throughout our 90-year history, CMDA members, just like Dr. Sam Alexander, have followed that call from God's word to heal the sick and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sam is just one example of thousands of healthcare professionals who are bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to our world through healthcare. And for Sam, that's made an incredible difference in the nation of Mongolia. Is God calling you, friend, to join a modern-day cloud of Christian witnesses in healthcare, those who've served all over the globe? That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Looking forward to seeing you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.